at the feet of Jesus, lay them down. Give them all, give them all. Give them all to Jesus. Shattered dreams, wounded hearts, broken toys. Give them all, give them all.
Let us give our singing evangelist, Elder Raymond Antonio, another hearty amen. Amen. The song says that you could give all of your troubles, your trials, your tribulation to Jesus. Notice it says you could give them to Jesus. You cannot give your problems to any and every human being because not everyone can handle your problems. But Jesus, he invites us to come and lay all of our cares upon him because he's able to handle it. What do you say tonight? Well, good evening, everybody. Good evening to everybody. It is a privilege and a pleasure once more to be here again tonight as we continue in our gospel series, Shine the Light. It is good to see each and every one of you tonight. Especially those who are here for the very, very first time. And we have had our welcome already, and I too would like to welcome you. And I trust that this will not be your last night, but I also trust that you'll begin to see God and the love that Jesus Christ displayed for us, and that you will see that his word is indeed true. Well, tonight, we are coming down to the end of our first week. Can you believe that already? This is actually the last night in our first week, and tomorrow night we start a brand new week. And we were here since Saturday night last, and each night that we were here, of course, there were a few nights off, but each night that we were here, we were inspired and blessed by what the Word of God. And so tonight we want to go into God's Word again, and here at these meetings we believe in preaching the Word of God. That's our textbook. We don't talk about human philosophy or psychology or anything else, even though that has its place. But we talk the word of God because the Bible says, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So just as we need the physical food, how many of us ate today? You ate today. Amen. Just as we ate the physical food, we need the spiritual food. What do you say? And so you have your Bibles with you. You have your Bibles. By the way, each night as you come and you register, you will get a sermon note sheet like this. We invite you to take one and to write the text down, because we may not be able to go into all of the text every night that I would like to. So you can write the text down, and then when you have some time at home, elsewhere, you could spend some more time in the Word. But each night, please take a sermon note sheet, or if you're a visitor, we invite you to register. You will receive a Bible, and at the end of 7 nights that you come, the Bible will be yours to keep. But we want everyone to see the Word of God for themselves each night. How about that? So that you will not just take the preacher's word for it, but you will take the Word of God for its on its own merit. You have your Bibles tonight. And I invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, beginning at verse 37 and ending at verse 39. Matthew, the first gospel in the New Testament, chapter 24, beginning at verse 37 and ending at verse 39. We have it on the screen. We have it in our Bible, so tonight all of us could read the Word of God for ourselves. Let's read it together, beginning at verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, are we there tonight? Can we read the word together? Let's read it together. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, and merrymaking, and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered into the ark. Verse 39 says, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Tonight's message is entitled, One Fatal Mistake. One Fatal Mistake. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, tonight, again I ask and I pray that you, through the power of your Holy Ghost, that you will take charge, take control, take over your message tonight. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. One fatal mistake. One of the marvels of human ingenuity is the ability to travel into space. Of course, we know and we understand that everything that we have, everything that we do, God gave us the wisdom and the vision to do what we do. But one of the marvels that I find very miraculous is that human beings could build a machine, a space shuttle, and could harness enough power and energy to break through the sound barrier and then to propel itself into outer space. That's amazing. When you look at the amount of power and energy that is needed just to get through and break through the sound barrier to get into outer space. They tell me that they would need 12 billion watts of power. I can't even count to a million. They say that's about 16 million horsepower. Now, whatever that is, that sounds like a lot. A lot of energy. And God has given humanity the ability to do great and wonderful things. I remember in my former life, before I became a minister, I remember going into Bahamas Air Hangar, and I saw a jet airplane, and I saw two round, circular things under the wing. And when I began to understand that these engines, as simple as they look, they have the ability to propel, at that time, 120 passengers, along with suitcases and cargo, and let them fly for hours. Just two simple engines. I say, God, you're wonderful. Not man, but God. You see, God has given us the ability to do some things. But the songwriter says there are certain things that we cannot do. The songwriter asks the question, can we catch the wind? We can catch the wind in the different instruments to harness the energy. But can you make the world spin? Then it goes on to say, can you pull the sun down? Or even make man can't from the ground? And the songwriter answers the question, oh no. But I know who can. God can. And tonight, I'm here to let someone know tonight that God can do anything but fail. The space shuttle may be able to go into space, but the space shuttle cannot travel to the ends of the world. Can someone say amen in the house tonight? The space shuttle can only go so far and no further. Remember the story in Genesis chapter 11 that we referenced one or two nights ago, where the people, the inhabitants of the then world, just a few generations after the flood, they decided amongst themselves that they're going to use the creativity that God gave them, and they're going to build a tower. And they're going to build it and build it and build it until they reach the heavens. But we know that humanity can only go so far without destroying him or herself in the atmosphere, because once you reach a certain distance, you cannot go any further than that without the help of some other being. And we know God came down, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 11, and confused them and confound their language. And today, that is known as the Tower of Babel. And Babel comes to mean confusion. You see, there are two things we cannot do tonight. Two things we cannot do tonight. We cannot save others. Did you get that tonight? I cannot save anybody. God has not given me that power. Some people believe that they possess power. But one thing that we don't possess is the power and the ability to save somebody. The other thing we cannot do is that we cannot save ourselves. Can someone say amen in those if you understand that tonight? I cannot save you. And I cannot save myself. There's only one person who could save you and me, and that person is our God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Then, as powerful as God is, there's one thing that God cannot do. He cannot save us against us. The God that made me without me even asking him to make me cannot save me without me allowing God to save me. As powerful as he is, he can make Adam and Eve out of nothing. But God cannot save us without us. Can someone say amen in the house tonight? Now, we understand as far as God is concerned, there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We talked about that another night. But in the Bible says that Jesus, in Matthew 28, verse 18, just before he was about to leave, Jesus came and spake. Matthew 28, verse 18, the Bible says, what does the Bible say tonight? And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying what? Saying what? Some power. A half of a power. He says, all power is given unto me where? In heaven and in earth. So Jesus is clear tonight, and the Bible is clear tonight, that Jesus says that he has all power. What does this power enable Jesus to do? Number one, Jesus has power to forgive. Mark chapter 2, verse 10. Mark chapter 2, verse 10. In Mark chapter 2, Jesus was about to heal the lame man. And Jesus says in Mark chapter 2, verse 10, because the people said that Jesus asked them whether it's easier to say to the sick of palsy, thy sins be forgiven, or to arise, I'll take up thy bed and walk. In verse 10, Jesus says that you may know that the Son of Man had what? Had power where? On earth. Had power where? On earth to do what? Forgive sins. He said to the sick of palsy, arise, take up thy bed and walk. So Jesus has power to forgive tonight. Can someone say amen in the house tonight? I'm glad to know tonight that power does not reside in me. I may be able to forgive you your faults. Watch it now, that's a fine line. As a human being, I can forgive you if you do me wrong. But only Jesus can forgive sins. Did you get that tonight? There's no other human being that can forgive sins. I have the power to forgive you if you do me wrong. But God has the power to forgive sins. That's in the prerogative of God. So don't mind people like they big short around town. But they can't forgive your sins. Only God can forgive your sins. They may be able to forgive you if you do them wrong, but they can't forgive your sins. Jesus also has power to heal. Mark 3, verse 15. And he gave this power to his disciples. The Bible said in Mark 3, verse 15, that he called the 12 disciples to them, and he gave them power to heal sicknesses and to do what else? Cast out devils. So he has power to forgive, and Jesus has power to heal the sick. What else does Jesus have power to do? The Bible says he's so powerful that when he comes again, he's not coming in a wimp. He's not coming in weakness. He's coming strong. The Bible says in Mark chapter 13, verse 26, that he is coming with great power. Mark 13, verse 26. He is coming with what? What kind of power? With great power. Then they shall see the Son of Man coming where? In the cloud with great power and glory. So Jesus has all power. He has power to forgive. He has power to heal. And he is coming with great power. Satan may have some power, but Jesus has all power. Satan has limited power, but Jesus has unlimited power. And when I read the temptations of Satan toward Jesus in Luke chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, the Bible says one of the temptations in Luke chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, the Bible says the devil, that Satan, taking him up to a high mountain, Luke chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said unto him, all this power. I wonder where the devil got that power from to say he's going to give Jesus that power. Say, all this power I will give to you, or give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and whomsoever I will give it. Satan is trying to give Jesus power. But Jesus says, I have all power. You see, Satan has some power. And when we go to the book of Revelation chapter 13, we're letting the Bible speak tonight. Revelation chapter 13. The Bible says in this prophetic chapter, and we're going to look at this another night, but we just want to extract one or two things from this. The beast, Revelation chapter 2, 13 verse 2. The beast that I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a what? A lion. And look at what it says. And the what? The dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I wonder, where did the dragon called Satan, called Lucifer, called the devil, got his power from? And the Bible said whatever power he had, he gave it to this beast. And we're going to talk about the beast another night, but the beast is simply a power, a government, whether religious or civil. And the Bible said the dragon gave this beast his power. So whoever this beast is, it did not get its power from God. It got its power from Satan, and it's operating under the authority of Satan. You need to be here next week when we talk about that beast. But look at verse 5, talking about this beast that got the power from the dragon. The Bible said, and there was given unto him what? A mouth speaking great things and what? And what else? I put that word blasphemy in your computer. We're going to come back to that. And it simply means to take on the prerogatives of God. There was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemy and what? Power was given unto him to continue what? 42 months. This is saying that the power was given unto him for a particular period of time. Jesus has unlimited power. Satan's power, even which he gives, is limited. Satan may be taking you through a rough time, but it's limited. Weeping can only endure for a night, but joy will come in the morning light. He knows he has a short time to live. Satan, who wanted to be God, watch it now. Satan wanted to be God. He wanted to take on the prerogatives of God. He gave the beast his power. God gave Jesus all of his power. And then Jesus said he will give us the Holy Ghost. He will do what? Give us the Holy Ghost. Let's look at it tonight. John's Gospel, chapter 16. John's Gospel, chapter 16. Beginning at verse 7. John's Gospel, chapter 16, beginning at verse 7. The Bible says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. This is Jesus speaking. This is who? It is expedient for you that I go away. And if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And then let's go up to chapter 15. Just verse 26, chapter 16. When the Comforter is what? Whom I will send unto you from whom? Even what? The Spirit of Truth. So here Jesus is saying that when he goes away, he will ask the Father to send unto us another Comforter, and that Comforter is called the Spirit of Truth, also called AKA the Holy Ghost. So God sent his only Son, Jesus. And Jesus says, when I go, I will send unto you the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth. You see, God is so powerful. We talk about energy, and we've been talking a while about the solar energy. And every month, My light bill high. And all that sun in the sky. All that sun in the sky, but elsewhere, people harness the energy from the sun to provide energy. Then we have all that water in the sea. All that water in the sea. And they harness water for energy. Some countries, they use wind for energy. They use all of the things that God gave in nature for energy. But God is so powerful. There's an incident in Exodus, chapter 14, verse 21. You can just write it down tonight if you don't want to go through it. Exodus chapter 14, verse 21. Where the children of Israel had left Egypt. And they had reached the Red Sea. Pharaoh changed his mind and decided to chase them. And the Bible says in Exodus chapter 14, verse 21, that all night, God, first of all, he blinded them with the pillar of cloud came and separated them from the Israelites. So on one side, it was fire and light to the Israelites. On the other side, it was darkness to the Egyptians. And the Bible says, while the Egyptians were trying to get their way through that, the Bible says, all night, God sent a strong east wind. A strong east wind that night that it just dried up the waters. You didn't get that tonight. The Bible said, God sent a strong east wind, and all night the wind blew. God is so powerful that he could control the winds and the waves. And the winds clash with the waves. And God said, I'm sending the wind, and the wind is going to win the battle over the waves. I don't know what wave is coming in your life tonight to try to drown you, to try to destroy you. But God has said, I'm going to send a wind to just dry up the waves and dry up the water all night. And when in the morning came, the Egyptians were able to see a little through the cloud, and they saw where the Israelites were getting away, and they chased them across the dried up Red Sea. And when the last Israelite got over the dried up Red Sea, God just released. You think Moses Roar did it? Moses Roar didn't did it. Moses Roar was only a symbol of his obedience to God and his faith in God. God said, Moses, stretch out your rod. And when Moses stretched out his rod in faith, God just released the water. Somebody ought to say amen in those tonight. The waters of the Red Sea stopped it. Then he released it. That's the power of God. It was not some freak weather storm. It was not some invention by some scientist in the lab that caused that. Second Kings said, just in case you think it was something that we had a hand in, Second Kings chapter 17, verse 26 says, but it's the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt with great power. And you shall fear him. God is powerful tonight. Can someone say amen in those tonight? God is powerful tonight. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, who's also God, he's powerful. He's what? But he's also a person. He's not some mystical force. He is a person. He's the third person of the Godhead. He's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I cannot understand it all. I may not be able to explain it, but the Bible says, without faith it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to him must believe that he is. So I believe that God is. And when I read the Bible said that God, for your salvation and my salvation, he comes to us as God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. If I understood all of that, then I would be God. But all I have to do is accept it by faith. I cannot explain it in a science laboratory. I cannot put it on a child and say 1 + 1 + 1 = 3, because 1 + 1 + 1 still equals 1. Only one God. It defies mathematics. It defies science. It defies all logic. And that's why the Bible says you have to believe it by faith. So the Holy Ghost is a person. When I and Ananias and Sapphira sold the property, instead of turning all the monies into the church, they kept some. And when the apostle asked them about it, the wife came in first, and she was struck dead. Acts 5 verse 3 said, why has you put in your heart to lie to who? The Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 5. You lie to the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is a person. And we are not to lie to the Holy Ghost. As a matter of fact, Ephesians chapter 4 verse 30 says, we are not to grieve the Holy Ghost. Has anybody ever made you to grieve, to cry, to get you upset? It says we are not to upset or grieve the Holy Ghost, whereby we are sealed unto what? Notice that we are what? Sealed unto the day of redemption. So the Holy Ghost is a person. And the fatal mistake that we can make tonight, the one fatal mistake that we can make tonight, is that when we blaspheme the Holy Ghost. Look at it tonight. Matthew chapter 12, verse 31. Matthew chapter 12, verse 31. The Bible says, all sins. How much sins? How many sins? Just the lying. Just the stealing. The Bible says, how many sins? Come on, somebody. How many sins? You believe that tonight? Even the murderer. It says, all sins. That's why I am so glad that God has not given me the prerogative to forgive sins. Because if he had given me the prerogative to forgive sins, there may be some sins that I would have to tell you, listen, my brother, that sin, that's a grievous sin. There's no forgiveness for that sin. But the Bible says all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of man, and blasphemies wherewith soever thou shalt blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against whom? Against whom? Against whom? Against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. Forgiveness of sins is the prerogative of God. And God says the fatal mistake is this. You cannot get forgiveness for the sin against the Holy Ghost. What does that mean tonight? What is the sin against the Holy Ghost? Remember Pharaoh? In Exodus chapter 2, Exodus chapter 5, all the way there, Pharaoh had God's people captive, and Moses came to Pharaoh and told Pharaoh, God said, let his people go. And Pharaoh, the first question Pharaoh said is, who is the Lord that I shall let Israel go? Say, I know not the Lord. I know not the Lord. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. Turn with me in your Bible tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. Pharaoh says, I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. Pharaoh could not know the Lord because Pharaoh was rejecting the Holy Ghost. Look at what the Bible says tonight. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3, the Bible says, wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by what? The Spirit of God. Listen, the Spirit of God can't be speaking to you and you can't agree that Jesus is Lord. Because the Spirit of God and Jesus agree. The Spirit of God is God's witness on earth. And it says at the latter part, and no man could say that Jesus is Lord, but by what? But by what? So Pharaoh could not say Jesus is Lord because Pharaoh was rejecting the Holy Ghost. It is only the Holy Ghost that allows us to understand that Jesus is Lord. And if we don't understand that Jesus is Lord, then we cannot be saved because only Jesus can save us. Jesus is both our Lord and Savior. Some people, they just want Jesus to be Savior, but not Lord. When the thief was on the cross, he didn't say Savior. He said Lord, even though Jesus was his Savior. Notice the thief called Jesus Lord. When you come into your kingdom, remember me. So he is both Lord and Savior. Nor, in the days of Nor, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, my Spirit, my Holy Spirit, will not always strive with man, for he is also flesh, and his days shall be 120 years. The people in Noah's day had gotten to the point where the Bible says that when they went to bed at night, they dreamt evil. When they wake up in the morning, they ate evil. The Bible says, in one verse it says, evil was on their heart continually, 24/7. They went to bed at night, dreaming what evil inventions they could come up with. They woke up in the morning to put it into action. And the Bible says God saw the wickedness upon the earth was very great. And the Bible said he's going to give them 120 years probation. So he found a preacher by the name of Noah. Noah, not a scientist, never went to engineering school, didn't know how to build anything. And God said, I want you to build a boat for me. The Bible says that God told him, gave him the pattern, and said, I want you to build this. And Noah was building. He was building and preaching. Building and preaching. Knocking wood and preaching. Building the ark and preaching. They say that the amateur built the ark, and the professionals built the Titanic. But the ark is still standing, and the Titanic is somewhere at the bottom of the ocean floor. Isn't God great? Build the ark! And people came every day as they looked at him building the ark, and they said no flood will ever come. Why? Because they never saw rain before. And then they wonder why he's building this ark up on top of the mountain. A big ark that's supposed to go in water, and you're building it. How are you going to get it from the mountain down into the valley, into the water? Also, don't worry about that. God told him to build the ark right here. Build it right here. When they finished building the ark, the Bible says, Noah said to him and his family, let's get into the ark. He started to go into the ark. Then something strange started to happen. The animals started to go into the ark. Seven of the clean, two of the unclean. It's right there in the Bible. Now, if I was living at that time, when the mind is messed up, Listen, if I see all of those animals going into the ark, I would have started to think, man, something must be happening. But the Bible says in our text, they were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, and they did not know till the flood came and took them. And I said, why did they not know? Why? Because the Holy Spirit had stopped speaking to them. If the Holy Spirit was still speaking to them, I would have known that something was happening, because if the cow started going to the house. And the dog, and the chicken, and all of God's creation started to go into the ark. What about man, who was made in the image and the likeness of God? The Bible says, who was made just a little lower than the angels, but of a higher order than animals. I don't know what I could do to get the answer to my house. But have you ever noticed the ants are very intelligent? And at sometimes I notice there's an abundance of ants. And they just come crawling into your house. Why? Because they know that the rain is coming. And they're coming in for shelter. Now the ants is just a little tiny creature. And we human beings, our brain is over a thousand times bigger than the ants, the whole ant. And if the ant could have sense enough to know and to sense when the rain is coming and to get into the ark of safety, what do you think with humans who are big brains? Why? Because when the Holy Spirit does not speak to us anymore, anything will happen to us and we will not be able to respond. One fatal mistake. They say when they had the tsunami in Asia several years ago, while the human beings were going on the beach and swimming and all of that, the animals were coming in for safety. We human beings, there's the ark of safety called salvation. And so the Bible says, once the animals were in, and no one has found who was in, the preacher did not close the ark. The Bible said the hand of God closed the ark. The same hand that wrote on Nebuchadnezzar's wall, it is finished. The same hand that tore the veil of the temple when Christ died and said, it is finished, that same hand closed the door. And when that hand closes the door, no, nothing will be able to cause you to open the door. Go to some places and they say they close 5:00. You get there after 5. And if you know somebody, or you show them something, or you give them a little indication, they may open the door for you. But I'm here to let someone know tonight, that when God closes the door, no amount of bribery, no amount of money, no amount of anything will cause God to open up the door of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. Notice something quickly with me tonight. When God closed the door to the ark, the Bible says, and you could read the story when you go home, it did not rain right away. Did not rain right away. Noah and his family, along with all the noise and the smell of all those animals inside the ark, were locked up in the ark. And the people outside the ark, they were going about life as usual. But when the door of the ark was closed, it was at that point that they were lost. Let that sink in tonight. The moment the door of the ark was closed, those outside the ark were lost. And yet for them, life continued on for another 7 days, 1 week. For 1 week, they were outside the ark and did not know that they were lost. The Bible said they were doing all of these things and did not know it until the flood came and took them all away. Another thing I want us to let you know is that when they were inside the ark was not a nice place to be in. The animals were smelly, making a bunch of noise. But those that were in the ark didn't get off and go outside. Sometimes in this ark called salvation, things don't always go the way you want it to go. There's no perfume to kill the sin. There's nothing to quiet the noise, but Noah and his family had to stay in the ark for 7 days because that was the only place of safety. And all of a sudden, the thunder started to clap. The lightning started to roll. The raindrops from heaven, the mysterious raindrops, because they never saw raindrops before, started to beat on the ark. And when they realized something was happening, they began to knock on the door. They began to knock. No answer. Someone pulled out their cell phone and began to text. No! When Noah read the text, no! This is Susan May. I hope no Susan May live here. You don't know me? But I used to be in college with your daughter. No! This is Mr. So-and-so. I used to be in next door neighborhood east. And they began to tell Noah all of these things. But I'm glad to let you know tonight that Noah didn't shut the door. And Noah couldn't open the door. No! This is your cousin. Went to school together. Someone will enter the pearly gates. By and by. By and by. Someone will knock. When the door is shut, hear a voice saying, I know you not, shall you, shall I? There's going to come a time when the door to the ark of salvation will be closed. You know, even Peter says, even after the flood, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, says there will still be scoffers. Still be scoffers. So the Bible says they are willfully ignorant. They are willfully ignorant. The text suggests that they kept on refusing to believe God and kept believing a lie even after the experience of the flood. The Lord God is not slack concerning his promise, but is faithful. The fatal mistake is the unpardonable sin. All manner of sin shall be forgiven us, except the sin against the Holy Ghost. They crucified him, spat on his face, stomped on his feet, pierced his head with a crown of thorns. And even in his dying hours, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They did all of that to Jesus. And at the moment of his dying breath, he became their high priest. He became the mediator between God and man. He said, Father, I present them before you because they do not even know what they are doing. Peter says in the book of Acts, Peter says, if they knew what they had done or what they were doing, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If they knew that 3 days later he would have risen from the dead. If they knew it, if they knew that once he died, that your salvation and my salvation will be secure. If they knew it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. People today, as it was in the days of Noah, we have the record. We have the evidence of the flood. The people were in the ark for 7 days. 7 days. All of a sudden, the rain began to drop. The skies turned black. And their probation was finished for those who were outside the ark. I had an experience as I close. I had an experience. I have a habit when I get ready in the mornings, get ready for work, I pack up everything. Pack up everything. Put the computer in the bag. Put my Bible in the bag. All the work that I will take to the office in the bag. Put my cell phone in the bag. Put everything in the bag. Close up the bag. And put it in the car. Then I go around in the house, do one or two other things. All the items that thought I would need for the day, they were in the bag. I picked up, got dressed, put on my jacket, tie and everything, picked up a set of keys, put them in my pocket. All dressed up, cleaned up, ready to go. Ran outside the house, bag in the car, keys in my pocket. I'm ready to go. Turned the knob on the door handle, closed the door and the bottom lock locked. Feel in my pocket, yes, I got the keys. Took the keys out to look for the house keys to lock the top lock. When I checked, that was the keys for the church. I was sure I had the keys in my pocket. But the keys that I had were the church keys. So I couldn't get back inside the house. And I couldn't start the car. Because the house keys and the car keys were on the same bunch. My wife had gone. So I had an idea, I'll go on my cell phone. I called a friend. He came, took me to my wife. I got a set of keys, came back home, opened the door, and the car keys are right there on the table. I was saved, but I was delayed. Many in the last days, when the doors of mercy will be closed, many will be left standing outside. Standing outside with their church suits and church dresses on. Standing outside with their Bibles in their hands. Standing outside even with the keys to the church in their pocket. And they will come up to Jesus and say, "Lord, don't you remember me?" And Jesus will say, "I never knew you. Depart from me." It is not so much what your status is in life. It is not so much what you have in life. What it is that you have a living relationship with a living God. The Bible says in Matthew 7 verse 22, many will say to me in that day, "Lord, we have done this. And we have done that." In that day, you could be all dressed up. In that day, you could have the keys to your home, the papers for your house, the papers for your land, the papers for your car, even the papers for your husband or your wife. In that day, you could have your credit card, your debit card, your MasterCard, your bank card, your membership card. You could have all the cards that you want. But in that day, I had the wallet in my pocket. In that day, you could be a stalwart, emeritus, or a third party. But in that day, there's no party that could save you. The only thing that could save you is the Jesus body. Can someone say amen in the house tonight? We get caught up in all these things and yet believing that because we belong to a particular party or have a particular position, that's going to save us. In that day, the only thing that could that would be a benefit is that we have a relationship with Christ. The Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 20. In that day, though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, saith the Lord, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter. They shall deliver but their own souls. You have to know God for yourself. You have to know that you know that you know God. The fatal mistake is to reject the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the Savior, is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let him come in? There's nothing in this world to keep you apart. What is your answer to him? Time after time, he has waited before, and now he is waiting again. Help me make welcome Brother Oscar as he sings the song as we seal this message tonight. Invite you wherever you are just to stand to your feet. Just to stand to your feet tonight. If you could still hear this message, and this message is telling you or speaking to you, then the Holy Spirit is still speaking to you. Don't push the Holy Spirit. Standing to your feet at this time, we're going to pray. Heavenly Father, tonight, We thank you so much that mercy still lingers with grace. I thank you that the sweet voice of the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, can still be heard. I praise you tonight that your word is still mighty to save. I'm happy tonight that Jesus is still powerful to save. He's able to forgive. He's able to heal. He's able to save from the guttermost to the uppermost those that come to him by faith. I thank you tonight that we could respond. Thank you that we are standing in response, not to these words of mortal clay, but to the voice of the Holy Spirit, who said, "Today, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart." Who says, "Come now, let us reason together," said the Lord of hosts. "Though your sins be as scarlet, they should be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." So tonight we have come. Please take our lives and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take all that we have and make it thine. Come into our hearts, into our lives, and then shine out of us, so that others may see in us the Christ that came to save. And until tomorrow, we will have church in the morning. Then we continue our meetings in tomorrow evening. Until then, at 7:15 tomorrow evening, when we look at the topic, "Oh Happy Day," we say in benediction, "May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Peace in your families. Peace at your homes. Peace at your school. Peace on your job. But most importantly, may he give you peace in your heart. Until tomorrow night, may the good Lord keep you in the hollow of his hands." Good night, and see you again in the morning.